You opening up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Today we're going to be sitting on top of one verse only. In verse 11, as we see our commission commences. You know, there's a lot of confusion around today about what it is exactly we're supposed to be doing. But if we understand that it's God who we have to give an account to, then we better find it out exactly what it is He wants us to be doing. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We have to rightly divide and understand exactly what it is that God expects of us so that when we stand before Him, we won't be ashamed and we'll know exactly what it is we were supposed to be working at and accomplishing. Now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13, we have an incredible picture of our commission, of what God commissioned us to do, what He wanted us to accomplish in the dispensation of grace in this during this time. And it's such a great picture because we see really in verse 11 the beginning, in verse 12 the middle, or what's supposed to be taken throughout this entire dispensation, and then in verse 13 the end, what our goal is, what we're trying to accomplish ultimately. And so there's so much so in each one of these verses, and as you understand that verse 12 is the very vision for our church, we're going to slow it down just a little bit and talk about each one of these verses individually. So today we're going to talk and see what it says in verse 11 about the beginning of our commission and see how God used Paul and used these other people who He establishes here to accomplish some things. And through this verse, in verse 11, we're going to see that they were sent to establish the truth, to edify with the truth, to evangelize with the truth, and to educate with the truth. So let's take a moment and ask that the Lord, for the Lord to direct our time together and the Holy Spirit to have complete control over our hearts and what it is that He wants to show us today and reveal us to us through His Word. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You again for the truth of Your Word. I pray that what we're going to be seeing through this continued study of the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit would be able to use in each one of our lives so that we can glorify You with everything that we do. And Lord, I thank and praise You for the authority of Your Word, and I pray that every one of us would have the humility to submit to it as such and the wisdom to apply it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, if you remember, this was in reference to when He said in verse 8, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Well, these are those gifts, these responsibilities that these men received, because He says, continuing on in verse 11, "And He gave." This was what He gave. He gave some apostles. So that's the first thing we need to look at. And understanding what an apostle is and what his job was and what his qualifications were, there's no way to believe that this could be something that it would be an office that somebody has today. But remembering back and understanding when He conferred this upon those apostles, this great responsibility, this gift upon them, it was for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to establish truth. And we're not going to take the time to look at the qualifications of an apostle. It was necessary for them to have passed time directly with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to testify of His very resurrection. That's not something that somebody can do today. But yet these men did. And when we look back specifically upon Paul and what he was sent out to accomplish, as well as Peter and what he was sent out to accomplish, they were sent out to accomplish as apostles a goal to establish truth for a specific dispensation. Now we understand that Paul was ministering that very the truth that we received and the doctrine which we teach to us today. If you look with me over in Galatians chapter 1, God conferred to Paul the truth that was necessary for the body of Christ. He says specifically in verses 11 and 12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." This is why he's an apostle. Because he got the message that he passed down to us today directly from the Lord. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord revealed. He spent 3 years training him up, just as he spent 3 years training up Peter and the rest of the other apostles for the earthly ministry, through his earthly ministry, for the specific doctrine that he was laying out for the Jews. But then he spent 3 years in his resurrected state with Paul, preparing him with the message that he wanted him to take to the Gentiles. Now, if you jump with me over to chapter 2, a series of verses that we use very common, it shows that distinction. The distinction of Paul and the distinction of Peter. It says, beginning in verse 7, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Now this is a parenthesis which does give a further explanation. He says, you know what? He gave me the gospel, he committed to me the gospel of the uncircumcision, and to Peter the gospel of the circumcision. So why? Because that's the truth that was to be established. So each one of them have an apostleship, a time when they were prepared and committed out to manifest that very truth and to establish it for the people who would be following that truth. And he says in verse 9, "And when Cephas, James, and John," that's Peter, James, and John, "who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas," and Barnabas is also listed as an apostle in Acts, "to me and Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, as we should go unto the heathen," or Gentiles, "and they unto the circumcision." This is the separation that the Lord is making very clear for the doctrine, the truth, which is to be established. And now that truth, which was given to Paul and conferred through Paul through his apostleship, is passed on and given to throughout all the generations in this dispensation. We'll even be talking more about that next week. But what we need to understand is that there are no more apostles because there's no more revelation. There's no more truth which needs to be revealed that hasn't already been revealed. That's why it's ridiculous when somebody today will talk about having apostles. Well, if they're an apostle, then there's more truth which needs to be revealed. And the Word of God says that that's not happening. I mean, look with me over again. This office, the office of an apostle, this is why this is marking the very beginning of this dispensation, because the office of an apostle can no longer exist. This was something that they were established to accomplish in that time. Come with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verses 1 and 2, Paul is talking about the separation of the apostleships between Peter and himself. And he says specifically, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" Again, one of the requirements of being an apostle. "Are not ye my work in the Lord," the result of his ministry? He said, "If I be not an apostle unto others, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." The result of his work was what came out of that establishing of the truth. And he says, you know, maybe I'm not an apostle to others because those who were not following this doctrine that he had set forth for the body of Christ were not looking to Paul's truth, the gospel which he had proclaimed and the truth which he had established for ruling their lives. There was the truth and the doctrine that was committed through Peter that they were functioning under and were supposed to be functioning under. And Paul recognized that, but he says, you know what, I may not be an apostle to them, but to you I am. Because he was used of God to establish the truths for them in order to be saved and to grow in their relationship with the Lord. There's also another reference right here in 1 Corinthians. If you come back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about the apostles. It shows that this is not an office which is going to continue. He says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 4:9, he says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." You know what? This is not an office which continues to this day. But that's not to say that it wasn't important. It was very important, and God utilized these apostles to establish the doctrinal truths that we continue with to this very day. And that's what's important to understand as far as the separation of what the Lord is saying in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles to establish the truth. Although there are no more apostles today and that office has been completed, we need to conserve or preserve the very work that they were utilized to give to us. If you look with me over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, down in verse 13, Paul, speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith, who he was passing on the truth, you never once saw Paul tell Timothy how to become an apostle. You never told him what the requirements of an apostle were, and so how they could establish that office in the church. Why? Because it wasn't something that he was going to pass on. If it was, he certainly would have done it to Timothy. But he didn't. Because Timothy was not an apostle. Timothy was taking the truths that God had used Paul to establish and were therefore passing it on. Look what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13. He says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast received of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Now you can connect this verse, if you haven't already done so, to verse 2 of chapter 2. It says in chapter 2:2 of 2 Timothy that the things that thou hast heard of me. Now, what are the things that thou hast heard of me? That's why you connect it back to verse 13 where he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." The things that came through Paul and were committed to Timothy is what he wants to be preserved throughout all generations in this dispensation. He says, "The things that thou hast heard among me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Every time I go through this verse, I ask a simple question. How many generations do we see in this verse? Four generations. There are four generations. It's Paul, Timothy, those to whom he's committing it to, the faithful men who shall be able to commit to others also. It's four generations. He wants the truth that God used him to establish to be preserved. So the work that the apostle did, specifically Paul, in laying out this doctrinal truth for us today, was to be continued on for us throughout this dispensation, but not the office. Now come back with me over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll continue on down through this verse. But it was very important to understand that this was the starting point because the truth had to be established. Now, Paul wasn't the only one that God used. He was the only one that he used for writing out the doctrine and writing the epistles to be used as part of the Word of God for our dispensation. But yet he also used other men in other ways. You see here he says, continuing on in verse 11, he says, "For he gave some apostles and some prophets." You say, well, prophets in this dispensation? Absolutely. At the beginning, the Word of God was not completed. And this was an office that was necessary to be established. Basically, what was a prophet? A prophet was somebody who was saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And they would be used to preach the truth as God had revealed. If you come back with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we find here the reality of this office. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you understand basically what this whole chapter is about, it's about edification. And that's the second thing that the Lord wanted to establish for the founding of the body of Christ. He established the truth through the apostles. But he edified with that truth through prophets. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. It says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church." It was something that they were taking and receiving a message from God, and they were communicating that to the church. They were edifying the believers through what they were communicating to them. This was something that God established, and it was, you can even see that same reality in the Old Testament, what they did with the prophets. You see time and time again through the Old Testament where they said, "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." And this is exactly what the prophets were being used to do in this dispensation as well at the beginning of this time. But before we talk about how that work is continued, we need to understand that this too was another office which is not continued unto this day. This is not an office or a specific position that somebody can take within the local body. Why? Because it was going to end. Look with me in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. He says, beginning in verse 8, he says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Why? He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When that which is perfect or complete is come, is ready, you know what? That which is in part shall be done away. Well, what was in part? Prophesying. That was in part. And that was going to end. That was going to fail. That was going to cease, as he says right here. Why? When that which is perfect is come. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect, but the Lord is truth, and so is his word. And when the word of God was complete, there was no more need for prophecy. If you look with me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is giving a testimony of what God utilized him to accomplish in establishing the truth. But while that truth was being established, you know what? The Lord used prophets to be able to communicate the truths to people. But Paul continued his function as an apostle in writing the epistles and establishing this truth that would be maintained. Until what? Until his job was done. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Fully known means complete. It's done. It's accomplished. He says, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You can get into a lot right there, but you know what's interesting? What Paul calls what his communication was, preaching. As he was preaching the truth and continuing to communicate the truth, he was being utilized in the same way as the prophets. But once that was complete, once that was perfect, and once that which is perfect is come, this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, that which is done in part is no longer necessary. We have no more need for prophets to get a vision from God. What we need and what is continued even unto this day is the same function as far as communicating the truth through preaching. What does a preacher say? What does a preacher do? A preacher basically says he gets a message from God, but now it's through the completed word, and lifts up the word of God and says, thus saith the Lord. He's accomplishing the same function, but he's not fulfilling the same office. Because he's not getting a vision from a dream or from appearance of the Lord. It's straight from the Word of God. But as these men were utilized to preach the truth, that's exactly what preaching accomplishes today, is the edifying of the body. It's to edify the body so that we can be strengthened in the Lord. Just as exactly what he was saying was the benefit in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 of prophesying. So that work is continued unto this very day, but not the office. Because there is no more revelation from God. And the work is complete. The truth is established. So we have no more need to receive a vision and a dream and then communicate this as, okay, well, this is a new message from God that has been brought forth. And thus saith the Lord. If somebody stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, and doesn't have the reference from the Word of God to back it up, then don't believe them. Because thus saith the Lord has to come from the completed Word of God, because that which is perfect is here. It's complete. It's everything that God wanted us to have. But we are to still preach that very completed Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, he tells Timothy that he has this charge as well. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Not once does he ever tell Timothy to receive a new message from God. It's the word that has already been established. But he's to take that word and preach it, which is exactly the same function as what the prophets were accomplishing. So the first two things we see of what God has established, he's established the truth through the apostles. Then he is edifying the body of Christ with that truth through the prophets. But since we no longer have prophets with that office, we accomplish that same function through the preaching. We no longer have apostles because we have the completed Word of God. So this is what we continue to fulfill as part of God's plan in this dispensation. So come back with me over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll continue on. The next gift that God gave was that of an evangelist. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Now this is another office which many people believe should be continued unto this day. But it's not necessary because the Word of God never once lays out what are the qualifications and how is it to be established or anything. But it does establish the need for us to communicate this truth and to be utilized as evangelists. We are to evangelize with the same truth that Paul established and the same truth that we are to be preaching, edifying not only the believers, but to communicate the truth to those who do not know Jesus Christ. You come with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To us, this is any man that is in Christ. Any man that has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have received this ministry. He says, to wit, that God was in the Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we've already got the word that we need, so we don't need a new word. He's committed to us already the word of reconciliation, the gospel that we need to communicate. So it's this reaffirming the same things that we've already seen established. But he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though we did beseech you, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. After that, he's basically saying, this is the gospel which we have accepted. He made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, to be the worm hanging on the tree for us, as we saw this morning in Bible study. He made him to be that so that we could partake in his righteousness. And this is the message that we as ambassadors are to take. But not once did he say that we are evangelists for Christ. He didn't say and talk about an office. Now, I can't expound too much on this because Paul never wrote about it. He never wrote about establishing an office. And if it was necessary to have the specific position within the local body, he would have given us what were the qualifications, what was necessary, how was it to be run. These are the things that he never set forth. But one thing he did do, he told Timothy, that he did not tell him that he was to be an evangelist, but he told him he was to do what? Do the work of an evangelist. You come with me over to 2 Timothy again, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. What's interesting is we see all these truths laid out in Timothy, who was Paul's right-hand man. He was the one who would have been his successor if there was anything specifically for him to take on that Paul himself was doing. He didn't tell him how to be an apostle, because that's no longer necessary. He didn't tell him to prophesy, but he told him to preach, to accomplish the work. And in the same context, down in verse 5 of chapter 4, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. There is no office established for us today. But this was established at the beginning, and people were accomplishing this and showing that, you know what, even through this day, we have the responsibility to complete this work, to continue this work, rather, to continue to fulfill the responsibility that God has given to each and every one of us who has accepted Jesus Christ, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to give the truth of the gospel to others. Look what he says over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and laying out the armor of God. One piece of it has very much to do with the gospel. He says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to have that ready with you at all times so that you can give to others. And as he's concluding his explanation of the armor of God, he talks about what he's wanting them to pray for. And look down in verses 19 and 20. Paul says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." This is something that is committed to us to this very day. Not the office, but the function. Continuing the work of an evangelist. Now, we don't do the work of an apostle because we're not establishing new truth, but we are preserving his work. But we are to do the work of a prophet because we're to be preaching. We are to do the work of an evangelist because we need to evangelize. We need to give people the truth of the gospel. But when we get to the last thing, there's a change. There's a change that takes place. And come back with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Because the last thing that he says here, which is necessary, which to be given, is the one thing that continues unto this day as far as an office. He says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? So that we could educate with the truth. Now, when we're preaching, what are we doing? We're edifying. We're edifying. You may be educated. You may learn some things. That's fine. That's all good. But you know, the first purpose of preaching is to edify. It's so that the body can grow, so that the body can be strengthened to go out and fulfill the individual responsibility that we have to evangelize. But to be able to stand firm on the truth of His Word, we need to be educated with the truth of His Word. We need to know what the Word of God says. And for this cause, the Lord established pastors and teachers. When He gave or conferred this responsibility and this gift unto men, He gave it to them so that they would take and continue to reveal and teach others the truths which were already established. Look with me over in 1 Timothy this time. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." He's saying, Timothy, remember he told him earlier, you know, "I want you to hold fast the form and the sound words which you've heard of me." You take that truth, you establish it in your life, and then what you do, you teach it to others. You commit it to others. You make sure that they receive it as well. You've been nourished up. You've heard the words of faith, the good doctrine which he was committed with. Now you take those and you remind the brethren, those who are Christians, those who have already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you teach them these things time and time again so that they can continue to stand firm in the truths of the Word of God. Look what he says in chapter 5 of the same epistle to Timothy, chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." You know who they that labor in the word and doctrine? Those are pastors and teachers. Those who are laboring in the word and doctrine so that they can teach it and give it to others. He says, you know, an elder isn't somebody who's just old, somebody who just has gray hair. It's someone who has matured in the Lord. Somebody who has had a walk with God, and they have a testimony of their relationship with the Lord. And now he says, you know what? But those who especially those who are fulfilling the function of laboring in the word and doctrine, you know what? They're something very specific about them that the Lord says, you know what? It's not just like anybody. You can have somebody who's mature, but isn't pastoring and teaching, isn't continuing to give that to somebody else. The Lord said this is very, very necessary. And it is something that is continued as far as an office. You don't have to be or have the office of a pastor in order to teach the Word of God. We make that very clear. And we want people, every single member of this church, to get trained up in the Word so that they can be used of God to minister the truth of the Word of God to other people. But this is one of those offices that that the Lord does maintain to this very day. And if somebody is going to be a pastor or teacher, then they better be able to instruct and educate people with the Word of God. Look what he says over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He lists for him out here. And this is why it's very important to understand that if the Lord wanted the office of apostle to continue, which he wouldn't because that which is perfect has come, the Word of God is complete, he would have given specifically the function and the position and what was required for that position. He would list that out for us in the Word of God. Same thing with a prophet or with an evangelist, if the office was to continue. But the office of a pastor and a teacher, or specifically here a deacon, is something that was continued. And look what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." So there is an office of a bishop or a pastor, as we say. This is a good work. This is something fine. And he says, but you know what? If you're going to do that, you've got to fulfill a certain number of requirements. And he lists them out. We're not going to take the time to go down through them all. But it's something that if somebody is going to take this office, they had better be completing those requirements before God. And they're not light. They're not something that's like, oh, well, you know, it's just, you just come to church every once in a while and, you know, maybe read your Bible once or twice a month. This is not what he's laying out. He's laying out very strict requirements, because if somebody's going to take this responsibility and accept this gift of the Lord, of this responsibility to minister the truth of the Word of God to other people in this office, then they better be fulfilling these requirements. Same thing he says with the deacon in verse 8. He says, "Likewise must the deacon not be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre." He's requiring specific things of somebody who's going to have this office, the office of a deacon. So there's definitely something important that the Lord is establishing for us to continue to maintain with this office. No other office is established. And no other office is established within the local church. There is not a president. There is not a high council which determines everything for the local body. If there were, God would have used his apostle to the Gentiles to communicate it to us. It's not there. The absence of those requirements teaches us a great deal. These are the requirements that the Lord has set forth, and these are what we have to fulfill. Look with me over at Philippians chapter 1. Paul recognizes here as well those that were fulfilling this office. He says in Philippians 1:1, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." He did not say the prophets, the apostles, and the evangelists. But these are offices which they did maintain, and they did have in this local body as well. In every local body, they were to be maintained, and that's why he said the same thing to Titus, to accomplish this goal, to establish this office, so that it could be maintained, and so that what we're going to see next week can be accomplished in verse 12. The vision of the church that we have here today, the Kansas City Bible Church, is straight from Ephesians 5:12. But you know what? The Lord established the truth from the beginning so that we can edify with that truth, evangelize with that truth, and educate with that truth to this very day and accomplish the things that he sets out in the next verse. But come with me over to 1 Timothy again, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And understand why this work is important to continue to this very day, as far as educating with the truth of the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do." He says, just like I told you to do, you just keep doing. Because it's something that needs to be continued. It's something that needs to be carried on to this very day. We have to continue the education with the truth of the Word of God, because there will always be those who do not want to submit to that truth. There will be always those who do not want to accept the truth of the Word of God. I mean, if it were not so, he would not have given this warning. And it says the same back over in 2 Timothy in the context of everything we've been reading. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, after he says preach the word, before he tells him to do the work of an evangelist, he says in verses 3 and 4, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They're going to have their own teachers, those that are not conforming to the truth of the word of God. And he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's why we have to continue to educate with the truth of the Word of God. That's what he was charging Timothy with. It's also what he charged Titus with. You look over in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Titus 1:9, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. If you don't know, this is within the requirements and the responsibilities of a pastor. As he's laying out to Titus in chapter 1. It's the last thing he says to him. What is necessary for the pastor to do, for the bishop? He says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Well, who are the gainsayers? The gainsayers are those who are not submitting to the truth of the word of God. And this is necessary to continue because there will always be an opposition. And when there is not those who will stand up and fulfill this responsibility in this office as a pastor or a teacher in the body of Christ, the enemy accomplishes his goal and tears down the truth of the Word of God. This truth which was established, that God established and gave through Paul, not only with the gospel, but also with the truth that it edifies us as part of the body of Christ, has to be maintained. And so the Lord established one office which would be maintained and continued so that to this very day and throughout this entire dispensation of grace, we could accomplish the goal that he's about to lay out in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. So if you want to hear exactly what it is that we're supposed to be accomplishing as a church, if you want to see in detail what the vision is for the Kansas City Bible Church, come back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, and we will hear the conclusion, or not the conclusion, the continuation of what it is that we were committed to do, what God commissioned us to accomplish in this dispensation. This is the beginning. It started out with the establishment of the truth, the edifying with the truth, the evangelizing with the truth, and the education with the truth, so that we can continue today to accomplish everything that God wants us to. That's right. Lord, I want to thank you for the truth of your word, and I thank you for this clear beginning that you've given us from your word. Lord, the truth of your word is so important. It's what's emphasized in each and every epistle that Paul writes to us today. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in receiving that truth, in preserving and conserving that truth, and in accomplishing the vision that you have given for us and what it is you want us to accomplish. Bring us all back together again next week so that we can see exactly what it is that you want us to be doing in this dispensation and why you've established that truth so that we can. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us this week would be used of you without having an office, without having a specific title, but used as instruments of righteousness to communicate the truth of your word to those who are lost and to those who are saved. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.